In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are in Lesson 173, General Means of Perfection. In the image, we have a picture of Christ with graces flowing out from his hands. And there's a group of people. I don't know if you want to call it one group or several groups. But to the right of Christ, or actually to the left of Christ, to the right of the picture, is a group of people that are obviously suffering, reaching out to Christ in prayer. And right in front of Christ, we see his grace is being poured forth on the individuals. And then to the left of the picture, we see those have received the graces of God. And we can tell that because they have halos over their heads. So they are moving from the picture from right to left. But if we were considering Christ, it would be moving from Christ's left to his right. Just so anybody who is particular about moving left to right or right to left can get that understood correctly. All right, the caption reads, Christ is the source of all graces. His merits give effect to the means of perfection which we use. This is why frequent confession and communion are especially helpful. They serve to keep us humble. If we are continually accusing ourselves, we are likely to form a delicate conscience. God will give us abundant graces, for confession and communion are sacraments and sources of grace. First question, what are the general means of perfection? After the observance of the commandments of God and of the Church, the general means of perfection are faithfulness in small things, self-control and self-denial, order and regularity, a habit of prayer, frequent recourse to solitude, reading spiritual books and meditation, and frequentation of the sacraments. These are general means of perfection because they are suited to everyone in every state and condition of life. By faithfulness in small things, we obtain greater graces and avoid grave sins more easily. As in the natural order, so in the spiritual, great things come from apparently insignificant things. We should be careful to avoid venial sins in order to be saved from mortal sins. We should avoid hurting anyone, telling little lies, fault-finding, complaining, etc. Quote, he that contemneth small things shall fall little by little, from Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 1. How small is a seed, yet it may grow up into a great tree. Quote, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in a very little thing is unjust also in much. From St. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Our Lord promises to reward those who are thus faithful, saying, quote, well done, good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many. From St. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Self-control and self-denial are acts of mortification. Keeping down anger and abstaining even from things which are permitted, but above all, avoiding even the least, yielding to what is forbidden. Self-control is the mark of a true Christian. If we deny ourselves some things which are permitted, we shall find it easier to avoid that which is forbidden. Self-control gives us a strong will. Self-denial is the mark of the human being made to the likeness of God. A beast does not say no to himself. Christ said, quote, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself." St. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. One may deny oneself by avoiding what is not necessary, such as splendid dress, rich food, costly houses and cars, excessive entertainments, curiosity, etc., and above all, by doing cheerfully whatever duties come and accepting with resignation all trials. We observe order and regularity by having a fixed time for everything, for rising, retiring, eating, work, recreation, etc. We should imitate the order that God has placed in the whole universe, regulating everything by law. Recreation is not against the practice of Christian perfection. It is a need that God wishes us to satisfy in the proper manner. It should, however, not interfere with our duties or take up too much time. By prayer, we shall avoid temptations and obtain blessings. We should especially make a habit of ejaculatory prayer. We should sanctify our every action by offering it to God. A good plan is to make a general offering every morning with our morning prayers. In this way, all we do, work, prayer, and even sleep, becomes a prayer to God. Solitude helps us grow in virtue. The noise and bustle of the world are distractions. We should once in a while imitate our Lord and withdraw into solitude to see our faults better and go closer to God. Good Catholics spend a few days every year in a mission or spiritual retreat to resort to this valuable solitude. Sixth, we should have some regular spiritual reading and meditation, even if only 10 minutes every day, as food for our souls. Meditation on the truths of faith, the life of Christ, and the lives of the saints will inflame our hearts to great virtues. Seventh, God instituted the sacraments as effective means of grace. We should have recourse to the sacraments of penance and Holy Eucharist as often as we reasonably can. Can we get more grace than from God Himself coming in Holy Communion? If we could only see the effects of confession and Holy Communion on the soul, but let us see with the eyes of faith and exclaim with the saints, "It is enough for me, O God, that Thou hast revealed it." What are the three principal degrees in self-denial? They are 1, habitual disposition to lose all things, even life itself, and suffer all things, rather than commit a mortal sin. This first degree of self-denial is necessary for all in order to be saved. Our Lord said, quote, "Whosoever doth not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Our ordinary cross, the cross of all mortals, is our human tendency to weakness and concupiscence, to fall into sin. Against this tendency, we must all do valiant battle to acquire the first degree of perfection of self-denial. Jesus exacts absolute self-denial in everything that is an obstacle to eternal salvation, life not excepted. Quote, "For he who would save his life at the expense of what he owes God will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will save it." From St. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Second, a habitual disposition to lose and suffer all rather than commit a deliberate venial sin. So the first one was resolve not to commit mortal sin, and the next one is a resolve not to commit a venial sin. This second degree is a mark of affection towards God. We avoid even small faults because they displease Him. It is those in this second disposition that are very active in good works, trying to do all they can for the glory of God out of love for God and for their fellow men for God's sake. They set a good example to others by their good works, according to the words of Scripture, quote, A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. So let your light shine before men, in order that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. From St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. They are far from those hypocritical worldlings who do good works in order to obtain praise and honor. Of these, our Lord said, quote, "Take heed not to practice your good before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you shall have no reward with your Father in heaven." St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. The third degree, a habitual disposition to prefer being poor, forgotten, despised, and suffering with Jesus on the cross in order to resemble him more as a proof of love rather than rich, honored, and praised, full of delights and consolations. This third degree is the acme of perfection. It is sanctity. By this disposition, one becomes a fool for Christ's sake. Suppose that God has given you wealth, honors, talents, and all other worldly blessings, and assures you that with them all, enjoying them all, you can still reach the same place in heaven that you can without them. And yet, just to resemble Jesus, who was poor and despised and tortured, you joyfully chose to give up all your worldly blessings. Is this not folly in the eyes of the world? And yet it is of such people that our Lord spoke, quote, "The kingdom of heaven has been enduring violent assault, and the violent have been seizing it by force." St. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. That concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, pretty straightforward. So it is not enough just for us to keep the commandments of God or the commandments of the church. We have to be actively seeking perfection. Our Lord said, "Be ye perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect." And as I've preached several times, what we need to focus on is that we can always do more. We can always do better. I don't want to say that to make us become depressed or despair or hopeless, but really to spur us on that we can try harder, that we can reach higher, that we can do more. And these are the means of reaching that, is being faithful in the little things, self-control and self-denial, order and regularity in our lives, and a habit of prayer, frequent recourse to solitude, that is, shutting off the TV, the radio, your computer, once in a while, just spend a little time reflecting or in the presence of God. I can't recommend enough, you know, those silent moments, going to the chapel when it's empty, and just spending a little time there with our Lord in quiet prayer, reflection. This book recommended retreats so we can have a day or two in quiet reflection. And of course, now reading spiritual books and meditation. I think along that line, our meditation could be our daily rosary or even a part of a rosary, whatever we can to meditate on the mysteries of the life of Christ. Of course, it mentions the saints and other dogmas, teachings of the church. Meditation upon those is always going to be beneficial. And last of all, frequentation of the sacraments, that we should strive to receive, especially Holy Communion, confession as frequently as possible. I shouldn't say confession as frequently as possible, but on a regular basis. I think it is wise, that regularity in our lives, to make it a habit that we're going to confess our sins, whatever the frequency may be, and to seek to live up to that so that we are holding ourselves accountable, but also, you know, a regularity in our daily lives. It mentioned that God has created regularity in the world, in the seasons, the night and the day, the four seasons of the year. We have that regularity, and we need to establish that regularity in our own lives as well. And of course, doing everything for the love of God, and that can be helped especially by frequently lifting our hearts and minds to God in those short ejaculatory prayers throughout the day. And so I guess we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.